Thank you, and welcome once again to the radio broadcast of the Independence Baptist Church. We're certainly glad that you're listening this morning, and it is our prayer that God would richly bless you as you listen to another portion of His own precious Word. We would like to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestell. And we have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock with our regular classes for every age. And then at 11 o'clock is our morning worship. And then tonight services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service, and then 4:30 for our evening worship. Our midweek Bible study is 7 p.m. each Wednesday evening. So you're welcome to come to all of these services. And I know that if you're looking for a place where you can worship God the way God wants you to worship Him, you'll find it at the Independence Baptist Church. If you have any questions about the things that we believe or preach or practice, you can go to our church's website, www.independencebaptist.org, and you will find much information there about the things that we believe. If you have questions that you don't find answered on the website, then you can give us a call at our church and ask the question. We'll be glad to get back with you. The church phone number is 636-673-2180. Be glad to talk to you at any time if I can be a spiritual help. Last Sunday, we began preaching about 20 proofs that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ existed before the day of Pentecost. And I know today that there's many, many people that believe that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ actually started on the day of Pentecost. But that's not so. We've told you last Sunday morning that there's not a scripture in the entire Bible that says that the church started on the day of Pentecost. There is not a one. If you can find one, then please let me know where it is. I'll be glad to put that on the air that I was wrong. I'll be glad to do that. But there is no scripture in the entire Bible that says that the church started on the day of Pentecost. Not a one. But we're giving you now 20 proofs that the church was started before the day of Pentecost. We're going to go through those real quick again. First of all, it's the meaning of the church. The word church means a called out assembly. And of course, Jesus Christ called out people to follow Him before the day of Pentecost. Number two, Jesus Christ spoke of His flock prior to Pentecost and also after Pentecost. They also preached the gospel before Pentecost because the Lord sent out disciples to preach the gospel before Pentecost. And of course, the gospel was preached afterwards. And then the Holy Spirit power was prior to Pentecost because the Holy Spirit was working in His church before that time. There was also baptism before the day of Pentecost, and also the Lord's Supper was instituted before the day of Pentecost, and also there was an ordained ministry before the day of Pentecost. Now, that's a lot of things already, and we've not even gotten into much of the major points. Notice something else. There was also church discipline prior to Pentecost. What we're saying by all of these things is that Christ has already established His church. He's put it in operation, He's given it power, and He is with His church, all of these things, before the day of Pentecost. Here in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 15 through 18, Jesus Christ gives instructions to His church about what to do about offenses. Let me read this. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Now, if someone offends you, what are you supposed to do about it? Well, you're not supposed to talk to all your friends that agree with you. Instead, you're supposed to go and talk to the person that offended you. Now, if in that conversation your friend will not listen to you, then you are instructed to take two or three more people with you, that every word will be established, that it won't be a he said, she said kind of thing. If that second meeting does not reconcile the matter, Here's what the Bible said, Matthew 18, verse 17. And Jesus said this before the day of Pentecost. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he will not hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here is church discipline before the day of Pentecost. Think about that. If there's an offense and it cannot be reconciled, who do you tell it to? Well, you tell it to the church. And who's the church? The church is that called out local assembly that you are a member of. And so you tell it to the church. You know, there's a lot of folks today that believe that the church is an invisible, universal something. But that's not so. Because you tell it to your church. You tell it to the local church. That's the only kind of church that the Bible knows anything at all about. Next point is this. Did you know that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ had Christ as the head of that church before the day of Pentecost? And I think most people will not have any difficulty believing that Jesus is the head of the church after the day of Pentecost. But the fact is that Christ is the head of the church before the day of Pentecost. Notice this passage in the book of John chapter 13 and verse 14. Here's what Jesus said when he was washing the disciples' feet. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus Christ is here stating that he is the head of his church. And none of the disciples disagreed with that, because they all knew that he was the head of them. He was the head of that body. They knew that. And Jesus knew it. And he proclaimed it, that that was so. I believe that everybody understands that Jesus Christ is the head of the church after the day of Pentecost, but just in case there's some that don't get it, let me read you this passage in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and verse 22 and verse 23. Paul writes, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." In this place, Paul is explaining the greatness of Jesus Christ and that God has exalted him above every name that is to be named. Now notice in verse 22, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Wow, what a wonderful statement this is. Because not only has God elevated Jesus Christ above every name that is possibly to be named, Paul is stating here that the church, the local church, is the body of Christ upon this earth. So Jesus Christ is the head of his local church. Notice something else that happened before the day of Pentecost. Did you know there was a business meeting? Yes, the church had a business meeting before the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1 and verse 15 through verse 26. This passage tells us that before the day of Pentecost, the disciples were meeting together in the upper room. And they began to read their Bibles, and they were praying for the leadership and the direction of God. And as they read their Bibles, they came across the passage that talked about how that Judas would fall, and that there would have to be another apostle take Judas's place. Therefore, the church had a business meeting, and they chose men that was qualified to take Judas's place. And there was two that they mentioned. And they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, the church had a business meeting before the day of Pentecost. You know something really weird about this passage? is that I have heard people read this and say, well, the election of Matthias to take Judas's place and as a part of the 11 apostles was null and void. Oh, well, where does the Bible say that the business meeting didn't count? Does God say anywhere in His Word that what the church did in electing Matthias to take Judas's place was null and void? Now, there are some men that say that it was null and void, but I have never found a place in the Bible where Jesus said, or the Apostle Paul said, or anybody said, that the election of Matthias to take Judas's place was invalid. Now, if you can find that place, just let me know. I would love to know where it is. Well, let's go to the next point. Did you know the church had a treasurer before the day of Pentecost? Well, it sure did. Think about this. In the book of John, chapter 13, in verse 29, here concerning the time when Judas went out to betray Christ. Here's what the Bible said in John 13, 29. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that we should give something to the poor. Here we find this, that Judas was a treasurer. He's the one that carried the bag. He's the one that had the money. And he was the one that bought the things necessary. He was the one that gave the money to the poor. The church was buying necessary things for day-by-day operations. Not only that, but the church was helping those people that was poor, helping others. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now notice another point that proves that the church was organized before the day of Pentecost. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verse 41, on the day of Pentecost, there were souls added to the church. Acts, chapter 2, verse 41 states, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let me ask you a question. How do you add something to something else if the first something was not there? You don't do that. There was already, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 1, about 120 members of the church that was gathered together in the upper room. And now on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came manifesting His power, that He is with this people, there was 3,000 Jews saved on that day and added to the church by scriptural baptism. The church is already there. And so these souls that were saved on the day of Pentecost did not originate the Lord's church, rather was added to the church that Jesus established during His own personal ministry. And now, instead of 120 members, there's 3,120 members. Next point is this. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ had the Great Commission before the day of Pentecost. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 is the Great Commission. When Jesus told His church, I want you to go out into all the world. I want you to teach every nation. I want you to baptize those that believe. And I want you to teach those that are members of the church to observe everything that they ought to be doing. And Jesus said, I'm going to be with you until the end of the world. Well, these are many, many proofs that we've given concerning that Jesus started His church before the day of Pentecost, and we're not quite finished. Next Sunday morning, we're going to continue on this thought that the church was started before the day of Pentecost. We do see that our time has slipped away this morning, and we do want to give you another invitation to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church and listen again next Sunday, the Lord willing, for the continuation of this message. Thank you now for listening.